Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking the ultimate running shoe to take you through winter. The ASICS Gel Cumulus 26 GTX. With waterproof Gore-Tex technology, these shoes will keep your feet dry and cushioned mile after mile.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score here on Highlands. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll speak with rallymen Aaron Johnston and Eamon Kelly about their recent podiums in Sweden. It's a big weekend for Donegal Darts as they head off to the All-Ireland Finals in Kerry. We'll be speaking with captain of the Donegal men's team, Carth O'Boyle. Plus, 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn will preview Donegal's next assignment in the Alliance League against Derry in Ballyshannon on Sunday. But first up tonight on the programme, we're going to talk football. Fin Harps are on the road at Treaty United down at the Marcus Field tomorrow night. Derry City are hosting Waterford FC to look ahead to those games and more in the League of Ireland. I'm joined in studio by former Fin Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, delighted that you can join us. Good to see you. Welcome along.
Oh, it's always nice to come and say hello to people like yourself and the Highland Radio family.
Yeah, well, listen, it's good to have you in studio. We'll look at the Harps situation in just a few moments. I know you were part of the Oscar Traynor squad that bowed out of the quarterfinal last weekend. It was a disappointing day on Sundays for you because you had a lot of aspirations in that competition, Gunanda.
Yeah, we did. You know, I suppose when you look at the players we had available, maybe not on the day because we had a few injuries, but I think going into Sunday's game and the way we had prepared, and you know, look, it was a tough day at the office. You know, elements played a part, but look, it was the same for both teams. So we can't be like making too many excuses. We just on the day we just didn't take our chances, and you know yourself, goals change games, and you know their goal just before half time was a massive lift for them. Yeah. And we just struggled with the second half, obviously, with the elements, and you know couldn't really find that killer blow when we needed it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you have to refocus very quickly because you're straight back into action this week, and probably one of the biggest games of the season now is going to take place on Sunday. You're involved in it, obviously playing with Letterkenny Rovers, but it's a derby. Bunnegee are the leaders. You have two games in hand, so it's one of the biggest games of the season now at this stage for both clubs, really.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. When you look at the league table, and they're slightly ahead of us, and you know, it feels like it's always a big game. You know, the two biggest teams in the town, I suppose, Bunnegee and Letterkenny Rovers, and you know, I don't think there's a lot of love lost between both sides. And I feel like we have only played them about 3 weeks ago there. Yeah. You know, and you kind of think, oh, maybe that's them done now for a while with us, or we're done with them, or they're done with us. But now it seems to have come around quick. But it'll be another great game, and on Sunday down Lakeview, and it'll be another tight affair. We expect nothing less, and yeah, it'll be, I suppose, a result for both teams. You know, we'll have a big say on where the league might go. Not just saying it's a two horse race, but definitely it'll put things in perspective come Sunday evening, whoever manages to get the right result.
Yeah, certainly will. But listen, let's turn our focus now very much into the League of Ireland Fin Harps in the First Division. They're away from home down in Marcus Field against Treaty United. You, of course, were part of the preview show a number of weeks ago. Since then, Harps have played two games and defeating both. They really struggled down in Kerry in the opening night. But there was a lot of positives coming out of the defeat against Dundalk last week, Keith.
Yeah, I think there was. I think Harris fans and you know the players themselves will have taken a lot of confidence from the showing that they had, especially in the second half. You know, they really got in, I think, a few changes they might have made at half time. Young McAteer coming on, you know, he's been hotly tipped to be, you know, to have a really good career. And, you know, he was, I think, on international duty and missed the Kerry game. Came back in for a half of football in Finn Park and was very good, and you can see I suppose the way that they played at times, and you know there was nice moves and nice, you know, flowing football, and it, you know, it was maybe a far cry away from maybe what Harps are renowned for, unfortunately. But no, it was, I think they can, there's signs of positivity, you know. Could really have got something out of the game. A draw wouldn't have been an unfair result. You know, Dixie Ferry had a good opportunity. Young McAteer had a good opportunity as well. They had one clear off the line, I think, from one of the centre halves. I'm not 100% sure who it was at the time, but you know, again, that would have, you know, obviously maybe made the result a bit more. You know, it would have given them something maybe to go to treaty with. You know what I mean? And it's going to be the thing about the players, young squad there, a group that have confidence per se because they're so young and they don't really know any different, and the expectations maybe aren't that great. But the longer that goes on without maybe landing a blow and without maybe picking up 3 points, that can wane. And the way Treaty have started this campaign, maybe we weren't giving them a lot of hope, but a real statement win going to Athlone and winning 5-0, you know, that was huge for them last week. So this is going to be a difficult, another long road trip that we talk about. But it's going to be difficult to go to Margaret's Field and maybe try and get something this weekend.
Yeah. Well, listen, if they were to get something, if they were to register a first point away from home down in Treaty, that would be seen as a big shot in the arm to them.
Oh, it would. And I think, yeah, you know, getting points on the board is, you know, getting, whether it's 1 point or 3 points, getting something on the board early is key to, you know, to starting any campaign. And you talk about any teams, you know, getting that first, you know, getting that zero turned into a one or a three or whatever it is, you know, can lift the camp. It'll boost confidence within the dressing room. And, you know, if they were to do it on an away trip, a place where they have picked up points recently and have won there last season. So, yeah, a few of the players that were involved with that squad will have that confidence. And, you know, I think if they were to register something, yeah, like you say, it'll give them a lift.
They've actually two, I think it's back-to-back away games they have now. They've got UCD, who play in Dublin at Belfield, the following weekend as well. They play Cove Ramblers at the weekend. So
yes,
Harps could find themselves in a couple of weeks' time going to UCD, taking on a side that may not have registered a point yet.
As well, yeah, I suppose, you know, UCD didn't play. They only played one game as well, though they got that game postponed. But absolutely, you know, so again, and we maybe tipped UCD to be one of the ones that might have started well and would be maybe leading the pack and would be wanting to build on what they did last year with William O'Connor there at the helm. So, yeah, that could also be the case. But, you know, I don't think they'll be looking too far ahead. They'll be focusing pretty much on what's going to happen this week. And again, just trying to get that point on the board early on.
Yeah, Dundalk are the only side to 1-2 from two. And I suppose letting the rest of the pack know that they're amongst the favourites here and very much... making statements early on that they're not going to bounce straight back up.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we talk about the investment and, you know, getting in a good manager as well. Kieran Kilduff coming in there, who's a big experience in the league, and, you know, he's got a good side together, a nice blend again of youth and experience in there. So, yeah, look, again, you know, a nice home win and going to fight. You could actually see with the players, you know, after that game, how happy they were with the point, because they know Fun Park's a tough place to go. It always is. And there seemed to be a good crowd there as well on Friday night. So, they'll know that, you know, that's one that can always be tricky, can be a banana skin. And again, the way Harps played in the second half, they'll have thought, you know, this is a good 3 points here.
Can Kerry frustrate Dundalk in their game on Friday night?
Oh, it can. Yeah, Kerry seemed like a tough outfit. You know, they seem like they've signed well. You know, they've been awkward to play against in the past. They've built on that. You know, they've got, you know, Kerry's a tough place to go in terms of the pitch. You know, it's narrow. It's bobbly, but then again, you know, when you're away side, you're going to make all these excuses. When you're the home side, you're thinking this is great.
Well, if you're doing an 800-kilometer round trip or something, like, well, yeah, what you guys have done, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, but yeah, again, like we say, you try not to make them excuses. Yeah. You know, especially for young players, like, they'll be just happy to get out there and play. You know, they won't really think too much about the trip.
Yeah. Okay. So the games in the first division on Friday night, as we said, Van Harps are on the road to Treaty United. We will have updates from that game. Michael Cook will be on duty at the Markets Field tomorrow night, kicking off at 7:45. Kerry play Dundalk, UCD take on Cove Ramblers, Bray Wanderers up against Wexford, and on Saturday it's Longford Town against Athlone Town. No doubts in the early part of the season, there are big games in the Premier Division,
yeah,
and I don't think they're going to come much bigger this weekend. Then Shelburne, the champions, hosting the former champions Shamrock Rovers. Everyone's going to be watching this one on Friday night, Keith.
Yeah, the Ringsend Derby. You know, it's come more heated over the years, I think. And, you know, I think Damien Duff coming into the league as well is absolutely, you know, it's give the whole thing a lift again in the way that he has sort of galvanised his squad. And I felt maybe we were a bit disrespectful towards the current champions when we spoke about the, you know, at the start of the season preview there. You know, myself, Decky, or Joe, I don't think I've even mentioned them, to be quite honest. I think the way that maybe that they finished the season.
The only side to 1-2 from two so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can point that out. Yeah, absolutely. So don't make me feel bad here, by the way, at all, that I actually know absolutely nothing. I'm sure a few people will vouch for that. But no, I think, look, the way that they finished the season, you know, I think maybe they stumbled towards, some might say, they stumbled towards the league, you know. They went that spell in the season where they hadn't a win for maybe 9 games, you know. So when you're going to win a league, that's just not championship winning form, you know. The start they had last year, I think they won 6 of their first 7 games. So, you know, that gave them the platform, that gave them that, you know, I suppose cushion where they could maybe go through a poor patch. And again, they look like they're starting really well. You know, that first, you know, huge win against Derry up there on the first night was, you know, a great win for them. Although Derry, you know, Derry were very poor on the night, but look, they still had to go and win the game. And with a, you know, a 45-minute break in between where the lights went out, they were able to kick on there and then going to Waterford and picking up another 3 points. So yeah, look, they've started excellently. A faltering start for Shams, maybe again having their match postponed last week an hour before kickoff, which I'm sure Cork were really disappointed about. You know, a 6 o'clock kickoff and the game's called off at 5. Travelling fans, you know, not much thought put into that one.
After 2 previous pitch inspections that day.
Absolutely, yeah. So someone's under pressure up there if that's the case. But look, these things are going to happen. Obviously, when you can't control the weather, there's a few things you can't control, but that's not one of them. So there's faltering start. Again, I suppose they kind of would have had Europe on their minds, but that's kind of gone now, so they can, you know, focus on getting themselves. Look, you look at the bookies, you know, Rovers are still the favourites to win the league. And, you know, once they get up and running, who's to say that they won't?
Yeah. You mentioned Derry City there. They were better against Bowes from the first game where they lost to Shales. They're taking on Waterford at the Brandywell on Friday night. You expect Derry now maybe to kick on as a game they can. Waterford did run Shales close last week.
Yeah.
But Derry at home, you would think there's another possible chance here of getting 3 points.
Yeah, well, I think just taking the first game out of it, there were so many errors in there from goalkeeping errors to maybe defensive errors. You know, they've sort of got themselves together with the 3 points last week. You know, I think you look at the team of the week maybe last week and they got 2 players in there. You know, Michael Duffy scored an excellent free kick, had another good chance in the game. And I think Sam Todd, a centre half, you know, that I would have played a lot with Sam when he was a younger fella at Harps, and, you know, had a great relationship with him there. Maybe poor, I could say, I think Sam would agree, maybe poor in the first game against Shells, but then excellent last week and was able to recover. And, you know, with Derry having signed another centre half as well, you know, a lad coming in from Dundee. So big pressure on them, and that's something that we spoke about as well at the start of the year, that they hadn't maybe covered themselves defensively, but they've done that now. Al Reynolds having a pop about, you know, how he had to play a 19-year-old at left back for Bowes, and Derry can just go and pick whoever they want. You know, it didn't seem like it was a problem for him when he was there, when they were making those signings. But look, again, it was good to see a bit of over and back between the two dugouts in that game. Both of them, him and Tiernan Lynch, getting red cards, which was, you know, good for the crowd and that. So yeah, look, it just shows how much it means to them, and you know that's a great sign as a player when you see your manager, you know, getting stuck in like that as well. So it'll give them a lift, and you know they have a big game this weekend as well, traveling down to Cork.
Yeah, and just quickly, 3 other games before we wrap it up. Cork obviously playing Bowes. Cork could get a result there. That would be a big boost for them. Your old club, the Drogs, they're going well. So they are.
Yeah.
They're taking on Galway United. I was listening to a podcast or something on the radio during the week talking about Drogheda and how they probably were one of the best sides in the latter part of the league last year.
Yep.
The transformation in such a short period of time. But now they're hosting Ollie Horgan and co. Galway, how's that one going to go?
Yeah, I suppose 2 former managers of mine there with Kevin Doherty and Ollie Horgan. Look, again, Drogheda were excellent till the end of last season. We're probably one of the most informed sides and, you know, carried that form into the cup final, you know, and obviously managed to get across the line there. A great start for them, going to Inchicore, picking up a point, and then having Sligo at home and scoring goals as well. You know, 3 goals against Sligo last week will give them a huge lift going into this one. But then Galway as well, you know, beating Pats at home last week was a massive win for them, real statement win for them. You know, a tough week for Galway last week, you know, John Coffey losing his mother during the week. So, you know, that would have been, you know, a difficult one for the players and staff there. So, no, this one's going to be a really good game. Drogheda is such a tough place to go for teams. you know, they really do make it horrible. I say the fans right on top of you, and they do make it difficult. So, yeah, no, it'll be a real ding dong this one, and I'm actually looking forward to that one.
Yeah, the last one, St Patrick's Athletic hosting Sligo Rovers, two teams that are in the bottom three in the early stages. Sligo, along with Shamrock Rovers, the only side actually to not pick up a point, but Sligo are bottom of the table, and they're taking on Stephen Kenny's side, St Pat's, who last year at the end were tipped to be, right, these guys are going to be the favourites for the Premier Division title in 2025. But they haven't had the start they wanted.
No, and there's one maybe that was tipped as well, like you say, to, you know, really, really start well. And, you know, if you go on a last season's form or just to kick on with the signings that they made, disappointing for them. Great result for Drogheda going there and getting a point on the first game. And then, you know, Pat slipping against Galway, you know, last week. Aidan Keane scoring a great goal for them. However, during that game, you know, probably one of the goals of the season. If anybody gets, you know, gets a chance to go and have a look at it on YouTube, I'm sure it's there. You know, so it shows his quality. I think Pat's will be fine. I think once things start to settle, I think, you know, it's still very early in the season. We're not going to be crowning any champions or, you know, showing who's going to be relegated just yet. But they'll want to register that 3 points as quick as they can, and they'll be hoping it'll be this week, maybe against a understrength Sligo, maybe, yeah, that, you know, have shipped maybe five goals it is already this season, two games. So, you know, they'll, it's not looking good for them so far, but again, we're not going to be saying who's going to be in the basement just yet. So, maybe an opportunity for them to register a surprise result against Pats.
Yeah. Listen, that's it, Keith. Many thanks for dropping in. Good to see you.
You too. You're looking great, by the way.
Thank you, Keith. And we appreciate you taking time out of your very busy footballing schedule to come on and say hello.
Listen, cheers.
Enjoy the football the weekend. Good man.
Good man, Ashley. Cheers.
Okay, then. Time for a commercial break. We'll be back with more on The Score after these.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the winter sale is now on with up to 50% off. Get great savings on runners and leisure wear in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. So our feature match this weekend is, of course, from Division 1 of the Allianz National League. Donegal looking to bounce back after their defeat in Galway last Sunday. They're taking on Derry this weekend in Ballyshannon, and this is sort of like a precursor to the championship meeting, which will be held at the start of April. Joining me now to look ahead to that fixture is a man that knows a thing or two about winning All-Irelands and indeed Ulster Championships, and that is 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn. Frank, delighted you could join us tonight in the programme.
Thank you, Ashton. Yeah, good to be back, and I suppose good to be talking about the National Football League again, and not Donegal, you know, towards the top end of the table, so it's positive for this time of year.
Yeah, certainly is. Before we delve into that, I know talking to the likes of Eamon McGee, Ryan Bradley last week, about these new rules. If these new rules were back in your playing day, Frank, would it have been something that you would have eased yourself into? I know the likes of Eamon and Ryan were saying that the ego would probably let them know that they would be up for them no problem, but the games got really, really pacey. Would these rules have been something that you would have embraced if they were back in your playing day?
It's hard to know. Just personally, I'd probably be a bit more of a traditionalist, you know, you know, when we were playing, you know, the rules was never really spoken about, you know, as in there was never any talk of changing rules. The rules were just the rules, and I think everybody, you know, enjoyed playing that style. I know the fitness levels have probably gone through the roof, you know, based off the new rules, you know, and that middle sector of the pitch is becoming just, you know, a real fitness game, and both attacking and defending. Not so sure how that would have panned out for ourselves. I suppose fitness probably would have been one of our strengths. So you would like to think that the new rules wouldn't have impacted us too negatively. But it really is, I suppose, a lot of getting used to for the players, you know. And I suppose there's people probably expecting an awful lot so soon, you know, when really they've only played four games of football, you know, under the new rules. And come summertime, I suppose I can see management teams and players really getting into the new rules and I suppose playing to their strengths or exploiting any advantages that can be got from the new rules. But I suppose I probably don't emphasise that we're going to see that until championship time, when the cut and thrust of football is there for both teams.
Yeah. Well, the FRC are going to review after this weekend's games round five some of the rules, and I think one that they really need to take a look at is around the black cards and the red cards, because Donegal really had no advantage despite Galway being down to 13 men. Jim McGuinness called it farcical, and it seems to be the general commentary and debate around it is that that has to change for the championship.
Yeah, I suppose that probably has to be looked at. I suppose it doesn't make sense. There was a stage there where Galway were in the opposition half and they actually had an extra player on Donegal. You know, even though they'd only 13 on the pitch, they still had an extra man to keep possession and keep the ball with the use of the goalkeeper, which probably, you know, when you go down to 13 players, there's a reason as to why you are down to 13, and there should be a certain advantage to the team that keeps their discipline, I suppose, and keeps 15 on the pitch. But that's definitely been taken away. So I think it's a straightforward enough one to look at, and I think anyone looking in will see that that's just probably not one of the rules that's just not working out.
Yeah. You said earlier there that you were more of a traditionalist when it comes to Gaelic football. What about the goalkeepers? Do you agree with the Roman goalkeeper and the effect that they're having now on the game, Frank?
Yeah, I suppose I agree with the goalkeeper. You know, that if a goalkeeper's good enough to come out the field and play football, you know, certainly. But I suppose the one gripe I would have with it is the goalkeepers are now getting to come out the field unopposed and, I suppose, unmarked as such, that an outfield player has to be left in order to put pressure on the goalkeeper, which probably gives a bit of a false setting to the ability of goalkeepers, you know, where if it's man-on-man and the goalkeeper's brave enough to come up the field, you know, and come up on a man-on-man situation, so be it. But I think there's a real advantage in the goalkeepers coming up and being that extra man when oppositions can't go toe-to-toe with them. I don't know whether they would look at that or not, but I don't know if they'll go down the route of maybe only keeping two forwards up the field against three defenders, you know, and then if the goalkeepers are brave enough to go up the field and play man-on-man and lose the ball, you know, it maybe has a different ring to it then, you know, there might be a little bit more danger. But certainly I wouldn't be in favour or in agreement that the goalkeeper can come up and create that extra man. I suppose as defenders, you want to be able to go man-to-man at the very least, you know, and I suppose that's not possible if the goalkeeper's coming up and creating that overlap. Yeah. You know, and in games, goalkeepers now are starting to wait until the space does open up, you know, and defenders can be defending, and then all of a sudden there's an extra man coming that hasn't been involved in the attack previous, which is, it's hard to deal with, so it is.
Yeah. Listen, we can't read too much into the Galway defeat. There was a lot going on there, particularly with the weather conditions and obviously a kink in the rules around cards. But the three games previous, they were very, very impressive, so they were. And it was a fantastic start to the league for Jim McGuinness's side. And as you said, it's good that we're at the top end of the league at this stage with, I suppose, a bit of pressure off.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. In the National Football League campaign, that's what you want to do. You want to get up and running and get points early on the board. And I suppose with the fixtures, and people might maybe overlook this, you know, but, you know, Donegal, Dublin and Kerry in the first couple of games, Armagh, All-Ireland champions, you know, and to come away with 6 points out of those three games, you know, was a huge start. I know the conditions are in Galway, I suppose you could nearly scratch that game. But the way things panned out, and I suppose they're in a nice position sitting in 6 points and using the rest of the league games now to, I suppose, gear towards championship.
Yeah, there could possibly be a league final in there. Is that something, do you feel, having been under the regime of Jim McGuinness previously, that it's a game that he might want to tackle or will not be interested in giving championship 7 days after it?
I suppose the championship certainly makes it difficult for 7 days afterwards, but I suppose there's a lot to be said for momentum too, you know, and either way, I suppose it depends what way your mindset is going into them games. If Donegal end up in a league final, they're there because they're playing good football and winning games, you know, which is a positive. You would want it that way, 7 days out from a championship match, you know. So I don't see any major, I suppose, negativity surrounding it. You know, it'd be a great game to get in Croke Park, and you know, at this stage, I think when you look at the games they have left to play, they've Derry coming now this weekend. They won't want to lose against Derry maybe and give any momentum to Derry when things probably aren't going the best for Derry in terms of results at the minute. So they're not going to want to give momentum back to the Derry camp to kind of give them any positivity. So I can see Donegal getting to the final and bridging that 7 day gap very well, I suppose. They'll be prepared for it and they'll be in the right mindset, no doubt, with Jim and the management team.
Yeah.
I think regardless, the probably first round in the championship was always going to be the the priority, and you know, league football is going to be used to get them there in the best shape possible. And I do think that league final, you know, a week before could be a benefit as well.
Obviously, Derry are yet to win. Does that make them dangerous coming to Ballyshannon on Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose, and you'll find, you know, historically, I suppose teams that are towards the bottom of the table in round five, round six, you know, when they really do need the points, I suppose they really have to go after them, and I suppose that might be that extra bit of motivation for Derry this weekend. And certainly Donegal knows that Derry are going to be coming all guns blazing, trying to, I suppose, get the 2 points to try and maintain the status of Division 1 for them. And it's a good way for Donegal to go into the game, because they know they're going to be tested against Derry, you know, so Derry can't afford to, you know, to shadow box, you know, I suppose with the league standings that they're in. So it's going to be a game, I think, where maybe Donegal might learn a bit more than what Derry will.
Yeah. So neither side, do you feel, will be showing their full deck of cards then on Sunday with the championship so close?
I can't see it, you know. Yeah. I think they'll be holding certain tactical things back for the championship, but at the same time, I think the motivation and intensity of the game on Derry's part certainly will be up there as if it is a championship match, you know, with the league standings currently. And I suppose Donegal, as I said, they're not going to want to hand Derry any momentum shifts ahead of the championship match either. So I can see it being a very intriguing game anyway.
Yeah. And just finally, I'm sure that break after the Derry game will be welcome, because you could Tyrone and Letterkenny the following Sunday, which is what, the 16th of March, around Paddy's weekend. So two home games against Northwest rivals. Now, we do have listeners in Derry and Tyrone are probably not going to be happy what I'm going to suggest next, but Donegal could play a part in their relegation, so they could.
Well, I suppose, yeah, when teams are needing points, and points are hard earned away from home, you know, and Derry and Tyrone are facing a big task to come to Donegal looking for 2 points and their bid to stay in Division 1. But I suppose them two camps will be, you know, they'll be gearing everything into the last three games of the league now to try and get those points on the board to remain in Division 1. You know, which is still a big carrot, so it is, you know, and even with the proposals for the championship changes in 2026, that league status, the league standing still had a big bearing on the 16 teams that play in the Sam Maguire race, you know, come championship football. So, you know, I can't see Derry and Tyrone doing anything else other than doing everything they can to get the 2 points against Donegal in those two games.
Yeah. Well, listen, we wait to see what develops now this weekend in Ballyshannon as Donegal take on Derry in a massive derby match in Division 1. Frank, it was a pleasure talking to you. Many thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out from your busy schedule to speak to us.
Thank you, Oisin. Thanks a million. Take care.
Good to catch up with Frank McGlynn. That game starts in Ballyshannon 1:45. I'll be joined by Brendan Devaney for Donegal against Derry. Full live match commentary here on Highland from 1:30. Also, of course, this weekend, Tyrone are in action as they play Galway down at Tuam Stadium at the same time on Sunday. The hurlers of Donegal had a fantastic one last weekend as they beat Kerry and beaten a Munster side for the very first time in their history. They've got a tough assignment, however, this weekend again. St Conleth Park is the venue for their clash against Kildare in Division 2 on Sunday. That one starts at 2 o'clock. And also at 2 o'clock this weekend, the Donegal Ladies are in action in Division 2 of the LGFA National Football League. Galway, they will play Galway in McCool Park in Balbafet. Starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Maureen O'Donnell will have updates from this game for us on Sunday afternoon. And it forms part of a double header because at 12 noon, Donegal are also playing Armagh in the Ulster Under-16 Championship at the Ballybuffet venue as well. So let's turn our attention now to motorsport. And in our rallying section this week, we're going to hear from two Northwest drivers who took podiums recently on Rally Sweden, which was round two of the World Rally Championship. Frost's driver Eamon Kelly, along with his co-driver Conor Mohan, finished third in the junior category in their Ford Fiesta Rally 3, while County Tyrone navigator Aaron Johnston took second overall in Sweden with Japanese driver Takamoto Katsuta, as they finished 4 seconds behind the winners and their fellow Toyota Gazoo Racing teammate Elvin Evans. At this month's Donegal Motor Club Championship Awards, I caught up with Eamon and Aaron, who reflected on their performances in Sweden, and to find out as well what their hopes are for the rest of the campaigns. Aaron Johnston, WRC Navigator, back in the Northwest, back in Donegal. It's good to see you.
Yeah, thank you, Oisin. It's always nice to come to Donegal.
Yeah. Listen, you're coming to Donegal off the back of a podium in Sweden recently, and no doubt
gone into that event, you would have took the arm off yourself if somebody said you would finish in a podium spot. Nearly got the win. What's the sort of general feeling on the performance now, about a week or so after coming home?
Yeah, first of all, thank you. I think that I would be lying to myself and everybody else if you didn't admit to having a little bit of disappointment having came less than 4 seconds from the win. But overall, like you say, we started the rally and would have broke any man's hand to finish in second place and be fighting for the win all weekend. So we have to be very happy with what we achieved after what was, let's say, a difficult 2024 season in general. But yeah, happy to contribute also maximum points to Toyota Gazoo Racing for the second event in a row. And that's the most important for us as well, being in the third car to contribute points for the manufacturer's title.
Yeah. So much pressure then on saying that this year, if last year didn't go your way, was there an added pressure between the 2 years this year to grind out these results and get one so early?
I think pressure between the two of us, not, but pressure from external factors and everyone within the team it's fair to say it's there, and the pressure probably has risen in the previous few months after the results that didn't go our way during the summer of last year. But, you know, we had a good Central Europe and a good Japan also fighting for podiums, and then, okay, slipped off the road on the ice in Monte, but that's just one of the things that the characteristics of that event brings. But to come to Sweden and knew that we had to punch in a result, and the pressure that brought to then fight for the win all weekend, I think showed, first of all, that we were capable of doing it and stringing a whole weekend together, which was important not only for ourselves but for the team as well. And to bring the car to the finish without a mark and fight for the win all the way up until the fly-in finish of the last stage was not only important for us but for the team as well.
No doubt it's something now that you look to build on. You get a big confidence boost to this, who you all are.
Yeah, I have no doubt that Taka and myself have the speed to fight at the very front, and last weekend in Sweden proved that. And you know, we come into a string of events now that have suited us in the past, like Kenya, where we've been on the podium twice, and Canaries is a brand new event for everybody. And then you get into the regular European events like Portugal and Sardinia, which, again, last year we were fighting for podium results every time. So, yeah, it sets us up now, and it takes a little bit of the pressure off after what we did last weekend in Sweden. So we will be looking to build on that and move forward and punch in a few more results to keep everybody entertained at home.
Yeah. What's it like, can you describe, as being part of a World Rally team, and in particular that of Toyota Gazoo Racing WRT, which is probably the biggest name in World Rally in Sotos? What's it like being part of that family?
It's a little bit surreal. Like, I've always said that, you know, this is my dream, and to get to the level that we're at now, I never thought we would really get there. And when we were starting out at this, like me and Dad, it was just for fun, and ultimately to turn that sport that I love so much into a career has been surreal for me, and I know also for everybody at home, and the support that they have shown me throughout the years, not only now, has been superb. And you know, I'm living my dream, and I hope everybody else can at least gain some sort of happiness and when they're supporting me from home.
Let's go back a bit. You have competed in Donegal before?
Yes, I have competed in Donegal before, and to be honest, Oisin, it would be an event that I would definitely like to compete in more often over the last few years and moving into the future. But of course, the focus at the minute is the World Championship, and whenever the time arises that that isn't what's in front of me anymore, I will definitely come back to that.
Was it a Civic you were in, a Honda Civic?
Yes. Yeah. No. Shane Ford, the DPD Donegal rep, I think it was a C2, Citroen C2, right. R2 that
was. Was that 2011, was it? 2012?
No, it's after this. Right. Maybe 2014, 2015.
So that's what was sort of before things really rocketed off for you in 16,
yes,
70,
yes. Yeah. That was, let's say, before I had ever competed internationally.
Yeah. So if Shane Ford gets a WRC car of some sort, do you think he'd come back and compete in Donegal?
Yeah, well, I think Shane Ford is a talent to get into a Rally 1 car, as do a lot of Donegal men. Yeah. But for me, yeah, I think that even in a car like Escort or something along the lines of that, the spectacle of competing in Donegal, it doesn't matter what you're co-driving in.
Yeah, I know you want to compete in Donegal because I spoke to you at the ceremonial start last year on the Port Road ahead of the International, and it is something that you want to do in the future, and we can't wait to see you whenever that is, Aaron, that you will be here competing in Donegal. But all we can do is wish you the very best luck for the rest of 2025 alongside Taka in that 280 hours.
Thank you very much, Oisin, and I appreciate the time.
So, Eamon Kelly, we're here at the Donegal Motor Club Club Championship Awards for 2024. You're just back home. Great result in Sweden last week. Yourself and Connor getting on the podium. And I suppose you couldn't have asked for a better start in the snow to the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really solid start. It's always nice to start with a good haul of points. It can very easily go the other way. And it's never nice to start a championship off on the back foot. So, yeah, good confidence boost too. You know, we had some issues in the Friday morning with setup. And I think we might have lost about 40 or 50 seconds in total. But from the Saturday or Friday evening onwards, then we were right in the mix. And we finished a minute and 20 off the lead. So, you know, without that time loss, we might have been a little bit more in the mix, but yeah, look, sometimes it goes that way, but yeah, it's really a good confidence boost, and we feel now going into the full season that we can be in the hunt, I guess, going into every round and believe in ourselves and that we can, you know, fight for the championship.
You and Connor seem to enjoy competing in snow because you got a podium in Sweden the previous year as well, so it's back-to-back podiums in Sweden, and it's obviously a different type surface, but it seems to be something that's suiting you guys.
Yeah, it seems to. Obviously, we don't get much snow here in Frosis in Donegal, but yeah, I like the fast-flowing roads in Scandinavia. I enjoy the gravel in Finland too, so yeah, it's just it seems to suit my driving, but it seems to be that way for Irish drivers. Craig used to go really well in snow. He got his first WRC podium there in Sweden, and he used to go very well in Finland, and Chris Meek used to go very well in Finland too, so yeah, maybe it suits us Irish drivers somehow. It's there's an element of madness out there with the speed, so that could be something to do with it.
Okay, what's next then? Portugal's next, different type of surface again. Can you follow this podium with another one?
I would like to. I would like to try and do even better as well. You know, always set the bar high. But yeah, Portugal's a different type of event. Gravel, but it starts off very rough, and there's an element of survival, especially in the juniors. We run at the back of the field, so you could have 40, 50 cars ahead of you, big rocks to avoid, punctures are easily caught. So yeah, we've been there once before, thanks to the academy. They sent me there in their Rally 2 car back in 2023, which was a really, really nice surprise to get. But you know, down the line now, that stood to us, so we'll be one of only two people in the juniors to have been there before. So yeah, we'll try and use the experience wisely and build for a good result.
You won in Croatia in 2023. Is there another one on the horizon? Are you guys confident that you can notch up another junior one this year?
Yeah, I would really, really like to. You know, I can feel it that we have the speed and the experience, and you obviously need a little bit of luck as well. But yeah, if it all comes together in one of the rounds, there's no reason why it can't happen. I think experience is the big thing, you know, especially going into the likes of Greece where it's really rough, then you've got Finland where it's fast but can be rough in the second pass. It's just where you need to use the knowledge, and I need to use every bit of that and also speed. But yeah, we believe in ourselves. We wouldn't be there if we didn't.
Okay. And what else is the year going to hold for you? You're going to get back in these historic cars again because you won in San Remo. Is that something you want to do again? Is Donegal International on the horizon? What's going to happen elsewhere?
Yeah, obviously it's tough to fit everything in. The WRC is a big commitment, time and financially wise. So yeah, we have my Rally 3 car out in Europe at the minute, and it's kind of being carted around from region to region to help with doing, you know, prep testing and some rallies in advance to the likes. We were in, you know, we were in Finland before Sweden driving on snow, and now before Portugal we'll do an event out in Portugal and some testing just to give ourselves the best possible chance. And yeah, that obviously takes up a lot of time and resources, but yeah, the historic stuff last year was amazing. It wasn't something I necessarily had planned, but I was very lucky to get the offer from Michael Cullen in Dublin to drive his BM in a couple of events, and they both went really, really well. Look, you never know what opportunities might arise. It'll be great to return to the likes of San Remo again and in the M3. My dad, Donna, is going and doing sort of not a full championship in the European Historics, but he's doing a lot of the tarmac rallies with Rory. So who knows, maybe I could join them for one of the rallies and have another battle.
Donegal's not going to work out this year, is it?
No, Donegal, for the last 2 years, I've been dying to go to Donegal because I'm 26 now and I've only ever done Donegal twice. I did it in 2019 and I did it in 2022. I'm dying to get another go at it. It's very, very high in my bucket list in life to try and win that rally. It would mean so much to me. But just the way it's worked out in the last couple of years, we've been away at the World Rally Championship rounds, and I think this year it's the weekend before Greece, which would mean we were away travelling to the rally at the time of the event. But on the horizon, definitely, I'll be there, and I'll be doing everything I can to try and get near the top.
Yeah, well, listen, you've got some more pressing things to come. See you in 2025 on the world stage, and all we can do is wish you every success this year, Eamon. Thanks for talking to us.
Cheers. Thank you, Oisin.
That's Eamon Kelly, and before that, Aaron Johnston, hoping to continue their success on the WRC stage. There is the first round of the National Rally Championship taking place this Sunday. It's the Midland Stages Rally. Lots of Donegal Motor Club crews heading that direction and hoping for good results this coming weekend. Interesting note, Josh McAuley, who competes in the WRC, is competing in a Rally 2 car in the Midlands on Sunday. We go to darts, and the Donegal Association will have men's and women's teams chasing All-Ireland glory this weekend. The men's team is led out by captains Cartha Boyle and Jordan Boyce, and they're going for a 14th All-Ireland title and looking to defend their title that they won last year as well. While the women under the captaincy of Alison Murray will be going for a 5th All-Ireland. This week, Highlands' Mark Gallagher caught up with the men's captain, Cartha Boyle, to look ahead to the big finals down in Killarney.
We're looking forward to it, surely. It's our pinnacle event for the year, and that's what we've played darts for all year long, is for this All-Ireland weekend now. And lucky enough, we're travelling the whole way to Killarney, so we're looking forward to the journey.
As the captain of the Donegal team, it's fair to say this competition is the biggest event of the year, then, is it?
It's the biggest team event, yes. And for a lot of us, it's our biggest event, even as a sports or playing darts for a career. I think playing, representing your county, and especially on the team that we're on, where every one of the 18 is fighting at the best at the minute to get started.
Yeah, as for the event itself, it's run over this weekend. We're chatting here on a Thursday evening, so you were saying you're heading down tomorrow. Tell us a wee bit more about the event, Cartha, and what the format is like.
The whole weekend, it starts off with a singles event on the Friday night. It's kind of a warm-up, but it's also a ranked event for anyone doing the ranking series all year. So last year's winner was a Jared McGlynn from Cloughan, so hopefully we'll have a Donegal man in the last two this year again. But the main event then kicks off on Saturday morning, and it's I think we've only got 25 teams this year out of the 26. I think Wicklow hasn't entered this year for some reason, but it's round robin then on the Saturday to give you everybody plenty of darts. So it's very simple. You split it up into five groups of five, and hopefully the top two teams out of each group will qualify then for the knockout on the Sunday, and with the best third place team making up that 16th place. So hopefully we get out of the group on the Saturday, and the Saturday is, as I said, round robin. So we have 18 on our panel and 13 players will start each game. So the result could end up 7-6, or it could be a 13-1 or a 5-8, yeah. And your points add up for your round robin, and hopefully you come out top or second out of the table.
You're going as defending champions from last year. Does that add a wee bit of extra pressure this time around?
It does this year a bit, yes, because last year we seemed to go down there with a bit more hunger, as we hadn't won it since 2020, and we went down and the rest of the country was talking, it was all talking about Donegal, how good we were performing on our own individual events, and every team kind of had, I think they had made up their mind that Donegal was favourites and we're going to win it with our performances. But this year I've got that feeling all around the county that there's a big bullseye on our back and they're out, and they're hoping to knock us off our perch, as they say. And that's what sport's all about, and that's what we're hoping for. So that bit of pressure will only make us focus a bit more, I think, going down the road.
From a personal point of view, how many times have you played this event?
I've played this event now. I joined the team in 2019, and then with everything that happened in the world. I think this is my fourth year now playing.
All right, so you've good enough experience of how it all works then. It must be quite an honour for you to captain the side at such a big event against the best darts players in the country.
It's unbelievable for me. There's a lot of times I stand back and I look around me and I've been wondering how I got here or why I got here, because I'm not playing darts that long altogether. And I do know the reasons why I got there, and it mightn't have been totally about my darts ability. It might be more of my vocal ability at times. So, but I appreciate the people that put me in this position, and it's a great achievement for myself just to be captain of a fabulous team.
So the men's team have had major success over the years and been crowned All-Ireland champions 13 times. Going into this year's defending champions, the ladies have been national champions 4 times, but they haven't won it since 2017, I think it was. Which other counties are typically strong, and who will be the biggest threats to you as taking silverware back up the road this weekend, Kerthy?
Well, in the final last year, it was ourselves and a Dublin team, and without doubt, that is a brilliant Dublin team. They would be running, I would put them in par along with ourselves as favourites, but they also have a classy Cork team, and Offaly last year put us to the pin of our collar early on the Sunday, and we were very fortunate to come out of that game. So and you also have Mayo. Something about that Mayo team, there's a lot of heart, a lot of depth in that team. They won the West Coast Championship there, which we were also in there in January. And there's a number of teams, but I just named a few out there that are extremely dangerous. But I would say for favourites, if you're trying to put a favourites title outside the box, looking in, it'll be ourselves in Dublin.
Well, you'll be going down the road full of confidence anyway, and fingers crossed there'll be some success in Kerry the weekend for you.
Some success, just to get through the Saturday and then get into the format of the Sunday. And maybe I didn't explain, but the Sunday ends a straight knockout where you put up your 13 players and it's the 1st to 7. So hopefully we get the team in order and we just give it a good run on the Sunday and just take every game as it comes. We can't do anything. We can't be looking ahead too far, because that's where our fall would come. So we'll just take every game, and hopefully Sunday morning we're in a good position to play, and hopefully again on Sunday evening we're still playing. And that's all we can ask for, and all we can ask for the team, because the team we have is full of knowledge and youth and experience. It's all age groups, from people in their 20s up to people in their late 50s. So, and every one of them is representing their county and can represent themselves at a high level. That's great.
Kerthy Boyle, Donegal Men's Darts Captain. Good luck to all teams competing and representing the county in the All-Irelands this weekend. Just before we finish up, a couple of notes in basketball. Team Northwest are facing the Portlaoise Panthers this Saturday at 5 o'clock in the ATU in Letterkenny. The Panthers are second in the combined standings, but Donegal have won 3 of their last 4 home games there. Tip-off once again is at 5 o'clock. And Ilias Golden Gloves Boxing Club are hosting their annual show in the Halfway House tomorrow, Friday the 28th. 16 contests down for decision. The first bell is at 8 o'clock. Ilias will take on an Ulster and Leinster selection with Ulster and Irish champions on show. That's it from the Score programme. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So it's left to your Thursday evening. Have a good one. Good evening.